Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, In Touch with the Dead, a conversation with Ryan Weffelmeyer. Communicating with the dead was always something that captivated the mind of Ryan Weffelmeyer. Eventually, Ryan decided that he felt it was time to try and explore that world and try communicating on his own. In short order, it was a success. From communicating with the dead at an abandoned high school to many other locations, Ryan began a journey of trying to understand how the dots connect within ourselves, enabling us to communicate with the other side, but also with the physical world and the tools that now exist. Today, we discuss how to be in touch with the dead with Ryan Weffelmeyer on The Grave Talks.
As a kid growing up, I wouldn't really say that I recognized it, but I did have an interest. I remember constantly getting books. I collected like the classic Goosebumps books and stuff like that. So I really enjoyed like the campfire ghost stories, so to speak. And then, but what really kind of cemented it for me was I was about to graduate high school when ghost hunters and ghost adventures really hit the air. Mm-hmm. And so I remember, you know, typical Friday night, a high schooler is usually out doing something. I was the one sitting at home watching Ghost Adventures at 9 o'clock at night.
Sure.
So a couple of years after, a couple of seasons in, I started getting Nick Groff's book and Zach Bagans' book. And what really made me want to go out and do this stuff was I had a solid interest in it. And I really enjoyed both the paranormal aspects of a location and the historical aspect. Mm-hmm. So what really made me do it was basically the gist at the end of Nick's book. He basically says, if there's something that's a burning enough desire for you, a passion enough, just do it. Mm-hmm. And that was what really cemented it in for me, that I really want to go out and about and do this. And so I started looking around, and in my area at the time that I lived, we were kind of the very tip-top of the Bible Belt, so it was, depending on the area you speak about it, kind of a taboo subject. Mm-hmm. So there weren't really a lot of opportunity, you know, groups to join up with. If there were, they weren't making it super public. But I did find a group that was about an hour away from me, and I joined up with them. And it was a pretty large group, and we hit a couple of locations. And one was like a very public place that they just let us stay past hours, and they never killed the PA system music while we were there. It was actually like an old mill turned into a mall, so that was a bust. And then the more I dealt with this group, it turned into more like a everybody just kind of collaborate and hang out kind of thing instead of actually investigate, and that wasn't really for me. So that was when I decided, if I'm going to find anything what I'm looking for, I might as well start it myself. So that's how my business with Finding Phantoms came about. And I basically didn't have any kind of gear. I had like no plan, just that I had the brand and I didn't know where I wanted to go with it. So I started looking around. I published stuff on Facebook, Craigslist, every platform you could imagine, seeing if anybody was really interested in this and partnering up and doing this. And there was a guy about an hour away, an older retired guy that had an interest in it, and he wanted to take part. So it was coming to about the middle of winter time frame, and he didn't like to stick around Maryland for the winter, so he always would travel down the East Coast, down to Texas, and then out west. And so he was like, how about when I'm doing my trip out west, you come out and fly out to Vegas, I'll pick you up at Las Vegas Airport, and we can hit places out west. So we made it a plan, and I ended up flying out west, and we had a plan for hitting the first night. We went to Death Valley, California, and hit Amargosa. Mm-hmm. And when we initiated with them, they were basically trying to make it sound like this super haunted place, which it might be. And they wanted a non-disclosure, so we couldn't release anything. So I ended up flying out there that day. We drove out there. We had one night stay there. And they had the whole place opened up to us, which it worked out because there was only maybe two other rooms booked for that night. And we investigated the whole hotel for, I don't know, probably 6 hours or so. And then we transitioned to the theater, and the building's beautiful. The room's very, it's a very unique interest or experience to stay in that room. And the theater was very interesting. The theater was all hand painted. Everything done there was all done by hand. And the end of the night, we basically had nothing happen. So it was a long night, but it was still an interesting experience to go see. And it got us into warmer climates. So I was happy about that. And then from there, we drove up to Goldfield. And we actually stayed a little bit outside of that town. We actually stayed at the infamous Clown Motel. And when we were cruising through Goldfield, I wanted to see some of the sites there. And we walked into a shop, and it's basically a small town that the main road cutting through is a truck route. So the locals there, they know everybody. So they kind of know if you're not from around there. This shop we walked into, they knew that we weren't locals of the area. And we were telling them what we were there for and everything. Come to find out, they were key holders to the Historical Society. And so they were like, do you want to check out the high school behind us? Yeah, absolutely. So that just kind of fell into our laps. Couldn't have happened any better. So they took us through a daytime tour and gave us the key for it. And we got to check it out for the whole night. And that was when I would say, like, we had I had at least my first experiences. I flew out there with just, I think I had a spirit box, an SB7. Digital recorder, and I had a camera that the frame rate was so low, it was kind of notchy, so it was kind of not very good quality film. But we had an interaction with a little girl there that kept coming through the spirit box. I think we had a janitorial staff member come through. One of the most profound things I captured was, we were hearing this little girl through the spirit box, and we asked, is this the little girl? And we didn't hear it at the time and everything, but we didn't really get anything out of that. But upon review, clear EVP saying, I'm the school teacher. So that was really an awesome experience.
Let's pause there for a minute. And I do want to hear more of the story, but a lot to unpack there. Let's first establish. So when you went into the school, And you had your equipment that you had with you, was that in fact your real first experience having an encounter of any kind with anything was in that school?
It was, yeah.
Wow.
And it was, I remember being very much so on edge.
So you'd kind of struck out a few times before. The interest, the passion is there, but it's not as easy as seen on TV, obviously, where you show up anywhere and they pop out at you and you get EVPs anywhere you go.
Oh, absolutely.
So I guess my first question would be, after kind of having some of those experiences that just didn't, you know, they weren't very fruitful, they didn't produce a whole lot for you, what kind of kept you going? What was, did you still kind of feel, you know, I know this is going to take a long time. Were you discouraged? What was the driving force that kept you going to, I want to find out more, I'm not giving up on this?
The experience was rather interesting. Actually, at the end of everything, when we packed up that night and we had our one night stay at the Clown Motel, mm-hmm. I was exhausted and the experiences kept coming. I remember that night. So the Clown Motel, obviously there's anybody that knows the history of it, there's a cemetery right on the edge of the property, parking lot there that had miners buried and stuff. And there was a mine collapse that killed a few people. That night I was sleeping and I was just exhausted. And I remember being awoken to the smell of, I don't want to say sulfur, but it was kind of like that very deep metallic-y smell that like your hands smell like after you handle rocks.
Yeah.
So to me, I was smelling that, and I think I heard maybe a footstep or two, because the floor did creak in one particular place coming out of the bathroom towards the bed. And I remember all I said was, "I'm only here one night. Just let me rest and I'll be out of your way." And I just fell right back asleep. But it was those experiences that, especially when reviewing and we got that EVP about the school teacher, that I was like, okay, this isn't just something that's totally, you know, faked for TV. This is something that you can go out and have these real experiences. You can interact. And I feel, especially now that I've been doing it for several years, the more that you're seeking that, the more it's seeking you, and that there are quite a few places that these energies that are there, these entities, they have a story to tell. They do want to interact with people. It's just a matter of the right approach and that right setting of intention to go out and want to actually converse as if like you and I are doing now.
Tell me about that experience where you got the evidence at the school, the old high school. I'm assuming this is a high school that is no longer active.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's correct.
So in those type of environments, those are the best.
absolutely.
I mean, even if you're not ghost hunting, it's just fun. There was an old school that I drove by for many years when I lived in Wichita, and it was actually the school, the elementary school that the BTK, Dennis Rader, killer went to elementary school in, and it was abandoned.
Oh, wow.
And then one day I'm seeing there's like cranes there and they're starting to knock the thing down. And I thought, damn, I've always wanted to go through there. So I found out, because I don't do the trespassing thing. I did my research, found out who owns the place. And I said, can I just go in there and just take some pictures? I don't want to take anything. I just want to just take pictures just of what this place is. They said, yeah, just, you know, go to the crew. I'll let them know that you're going to come and just stay out of their way and just do what they tell you and, you know, just do it safely. So I did. So I'm literally in this school that the other side of it is being torn down as I'm in the building physically. And the other side is still classrooms, chalkboards up. There's desks. There's, you know, it's almost like they just left, you know, and there's the balance beam that has the carpet on it in the auditorium, and it's all just there. And I'm hearing the wrecking ball, and it's just it's haunting. It's hauntingly strange being in environments like that, because you're so almost expecting there to be kids and activity. It's same with malls. That sort of odd feeling when they're vacant. So you get into this place. What for you? When did you start to notice that this event, that this investigation was going different than everything you've experienced in the past? What were some of those first things in detail that were standing out to you that made you go, "We're getting something here. This is not just luck. There's something happening here."
It was different right from the start. It had a little bit of a different vibe to it. And I feel like looking back that the fact that we had that day tour, with the key holders, that whatever may be in that school, they're familiar with these people that have the key holders, and they're familiar with members of that historical society and the townspeople. And I think that with seeing us with those people, kind of gave them the okay of like, okay, these people aren't trespassing. They're fine. They're with people that we are familiar with. And I remember we had, like a folding out plastic kind of table right in the entryway. And we set up some stuff there just to kind of spread everything out that we had between the two of us. And I turned on the spirit box, and I can't remember what I asked. The episode, I actually produced a small episode about this place online. And I got basically an immediate response. And I remember it, and you can hear it if you're watching this episode, you can hear it in my voice. It startled me because I wasn't expecting a response immediately.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.